This is Donald Hossig with Grassroots Environmental Protection Radio. Joining me today is a great scientist, a great educator, a man that I have learned to highly, highly respect. His name is David O. Carpenter, MD. Dr. David O. Carpenter is the director of the State University of New York, University at Albany, Institute for Health and Environment. Good morning, David.
Hi there, Don.
David, we have a problem here in St. Lawrence County. There has been many decades of careless chemical use with the PCB use and disposal that occurred up in the township of Messina. That is on the St. Lawrence River. In the township of Messina on the St. Lawrence River, there were three major industrial facilities: Alcoa, Reynolds Metals, and General Motors. All three of these large industrial facilities used and disposed of PCBs in a way that caused a large amount of contamination, PCB contamination, to exist in the environment of St. Lawrence County, in soils and sediments, in the bottoms of rivers, in the bodies of fish, in the air, in the bodies of people. And we're at a stage here where knowledge has progressed far. And I'd just like to get your expert knowledge as if you were speaking to a body of government decision makers here in St. Lawrence County, the people that have the power to produce public health educational messaging, the people that have the power to write letters to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and call upon them to do what's best for the St. Lawrence County residents and the environment. Let's just start talking about the PCB background as you know it here in St. Lawrence County, as if you were starting into this matter of what to do about the PCBs and the large group of chemicals, the persistent organic pollutants, talking to these St. Lawrence County government leaders.
Well, thank you for the invitation, Don. Let me just say that I'm a graduate of Harvard Medical School. I had positions earlier as the director of the Wadsworth Laboratories for the New York State Department of Health, then became the founding dean of the School of Public Health at the University at Albany, a position I stepped down from some 15 years ago to devote my time to research. I've been involved with the study of the Mohawks that live at Akwesasne on the St. Lawrence River since the mid-1980s, and I still have projects there where we have explored the levels of PCBs in the body of people that live there in relation to the diseases that they have. What we find is that exposure to PCBs and associated pesticides that are pretty much background exposure in the U.S. population, but they all cause disease. And the higher the concentration of these chemicals, the more the risk of disease. Let me go through the diseases that we have demonstrated. Of great concern to me are diseases where you get a reduction in cognitive function and learning and memory. We have shown this to be the case with adolescents, children between the ages of 10 and 16. We have shown this also to be the case with adults, where the higher their PCB level, the poorer their function on memory tests. Of concern particularly is the children, because there's evidence from other studies, not just from ours, that these effects on brain function are not reversible. And it's the ultimate tragedy if someone cannot achieve the intellectual ability that they would otherwise have just because they were exposed to PCBs. Now, in addition to that, we have demonstrated, again, both in children and adults, that the higher the PCB level, the lower their thyroid hormone function. We know the mechanism for that because the PCBs block the proteins that transport thyroid hormone, and therefore the thyroid hormone is broken down and metabolized more rapidly. Thyroid hormone is absolutely critical for brain function. It controls our metabolism. Beyond that, we've demonstrated that the higher the PCBs, the more infections people have, because PCBs reduce the function of the immune system. PCBs increase the risk of diabetes. Diabetes is a very common disease in Native American populations. It's also common in the general public. And we have found in both our studies at Akwesasne as well as other sites that the serum PCB level is one of the major risk factors for the development of diabetes, in spite of the fact that the medical community doesn't seem to recognize that this is the case. We find a relationship between serum PCB levels and cardiovascular disease, including hypertension, and the serum PCB levels increase the risk of having high levels of cholesterol and triglycerides. And this probably is the major mechanism whereby PCB exposure increases the risk of heart disease, because everybody knows your cholesterol and your serum lipids are major risk factors for heart disease. So these are very, very dangerous substances. Well, then the next question is, how do we get exposed to them? We can be exposed to them by eating them or drinking them, by breathing them or having them absorbed through our skin. Now, when we initially began our studies at Akwesasne, we had strong evidence that the major route of exposure was eating local fish that were contaminated with PCBs. The three plants that Don mentioned all use PCBs as hydraulic fluids. And when they leaked, they washed them down the drain, which went into the St. Lawrence River and its tributaries, and then accumulated in the fish. PCBs are persistent chemicals. They're fat-soluble chemicals. So when they get in the environment, they get concentrated in animals, especially in fish, that then people eat. Well, after tribal leaders warned against eating local fish, the Mohawks dramatically reduced their local fish consumption. And what we're finding now is the major route of exposure is breathing in PCBs from the air. We have at all of these sites major contamination of the water, of the soil, and that leads to contamination of the air. And our strongest evidence is for the relationship with diabetes, where it doesn't appear that the higher chlorinated, less volatile PCBs, the PCBs are a mixture of 209 different chemical species, depending on how many chlorines are on the biphenyl ring and where the chlorines are. That is, it appears to be the lower chlorinated ones that are more volatile that are primarily associated with risk of diabetes. So this leads to the real question that Don asked me to address, which is how can we reduce our exposure? Well, we must clean up the sources of contamination. As long as there are contaminated sediments in the St. Lawrence River and the tributaries, the fish are going to be contaminated and they're not going to be safe to eat. The PCBs that go into the air can evaporate from the water, but they also can evaporate from the landfills. And there are huge landfills there. The one I know best is the ones at the General Motors foundry site. They're covered with soil, but they're not capped so that the PCBs can volatilize, escape, and get into the air, and people breathe them in. Those landfills must either be removed or they must be capped so that PCBs cannot escape from them. That's not easy and that's not inexpensive, but it is not inexpensive to treat diseases like diabetes and heart disease and many other diseases. Now, we have not studied cancer because the population at Akwesasne is a bit too low to get statistically significant results. But PCBs are known human carcinogens. In February last year, the World Health Organization, through the International Agency for Research on Cancer, declared PCBs as known human carcinogens, and they emphasize the fact that the lower chlorinated ones that are more volatile, the ones you can breathe in, are particularly bad in terms of increasing risk of cancer. Now, there are a couple of other health effects that I didn't mention. They're not often considered to be diseases per se, but we have demonstrated that the higher the PCB level, the lower the testosterone level in men. Testosterone is the male sex hormone, and if your testosterone levels are low, you're not going to be as male. It may well be a major risk factor for erectile dysfunction and reproductive inadequacies in males. Many of the PCBs have activity rather like estrogen, the female sex hormone. We've demonstrated in the adolescent girls that the higher the PCB level, the younger the age at which they reach puberty. Now, that's not a disease, but it's also not normal. And it is a perturbation of normal development that should not occur. There are social and psychological implications of having premature puberty. And so while it isn't a disease, it's not a good effect of PCBs. There are no good effects of PCBs. They don't do anything that's positive. They should not be in our environment. They're totally man-made. And those companies that brought them to the St. Lawrence River Valley and contaminated the river should be held responsible for getting them out of the environment so that nobody is exposed. Now, while our work has been primarily with the Mohawks, there are sources of PCB and pesticide exposure throughout the food chain, and it's not just the Mohawks that are affected by the contamination of the St. Lawrence River and the environment. Anyone that lives there is affected for all and is at greater risk of all the diseases I've mentioned. It's just that our group has not studied them specifically. So what can people do? Well, one thing very clearly is they can avoid eating local fish that are contaminated. And they should be very careful about any fish that they eat, because we know that there's contamination of fish from a variety of bodies of water, including basically all of the Great Lakes, because of industrial contamination of the lakes. There also are levels, lower levels of PCBs in most animal fats, and that's because of how we have recycled the waste animal fat to feed food animals for the purpose of making them grow faster. So commercial agriculture has been responsible for this contamination of animal fats. And one sees this in some level of PCBs in eggs and milk, and whole milk at least, in almost all meats because of this way in which PCB contaminated fat has been fed back to these animals. PCBs are very dangerous chemicals, and we must remove them from our environment. We must remove them from our food supply, and I certainly recognize that there's a limit to what an individual can do about the PCB content in foods they buy from the supermarket, but there are things that they can do to reduce their own exposure by selecting the foods they eat, by pressing our elected representatives to not only push to clean up the environment, but to get these compounds out of our food supply.
That's very well put, Dr. Carver. I want to shift a little bit of the focus now to the PCBs are a large group of chemicals that are part of a large group of chemicals that includes dioxins and brominated flame retardants and myrix and toxaphene and hexachlorobenzene and hexachlorocyclohexane, all this dirty dozen that is, you know, relatively becoming better and better known as very, very hazardous, dangerous chemicals. The persistent organic pollutants, a lot of the focus of Cancer Action New York has been upon providing the general public, you know, the average New Yorker, the average American, the average Canadian, providing basic average people that probably have a biology, maybe some biology and chemistry in high school, providing those people with knowledge about these persistent organic pollutants, basically the names of the chemicals, how they get exposed to them, and what they can do to minimize their exposure to these chemicals. The World Health Organization in 2010, when WHO published the report, Persistent Organic Pollutants Impact on Child Health, I felt like, voila. There it is, a major step has been taken on putting together an education piece that would lead to the creation of a one-pager or a two-pager, a booklet, a pamphlet, something more readily distributable to the general public. Can you give us a quick little overview? And see, what I like especially about the WHO report is it pulls together so much science, and then it clearly presents the conclusion, the decision having been made from looking at that science, that now is the time, we're back there in 2010 and ongoing now, to take action to minimize the exposure that children receive to POPs, and it's all the children, not just the children of Agwizazni with the special heavy exposure to local PCBs, but all the children in the world because of what you're talking about there with the presence of the PCBs and the other POPs in the animal fat of the mainstream food supply. Can you give us a quick overview on that WHO report? You were a major player in creating that document.
Well, that report from the World Health Organization is again a summary of the world literature on the health effects of PCBs and chlorinated pesticides. These chemicals are all part of what the World Health Organization identified originally as the duty dozen, chemicals that are persistent, that stay in the environment, that pose adverse health effects to people around the world. And it is for that reason that the World Health Organization assembled this panel of people. It headquartered out of Geneva, Switzerland, which is the international headquarters of the World Health Organization. It's a part of the United Nations. And so the contributors to that volume are the health experts from around the world. It is a very readable document. It's something that should be available to legislators, to private citizens. It's available on the World Health Organization website, www.who.int for international. And I would recommend it for anybody that wants to get more information.
Well, that's very well. You've given us a wonderful guidance here. You're providing the guidance that will help the leaders of St. Lawrence County, the St. Lawrence County Board of Legislators, these 15 people that have power here in St. Lawrence County. We're very hopeful that once they've listened to what you have said here today, and then once they give you the invitation to come here either in person or do a Skype presentation, or there's so much opportunity for doing the distance presentations these days, you could make a presentation directly to this group of lawmakers here in St. Lawrence County that have the power to create an educational outreach on the POPs within the St. Lawrence County Public Health Department. They have the power to call upon EPA to clean up more of the PCBs, fix the PCB problem that continues to exist because of the evaporation of the PCBs from these contaminated sites at Alcoa. There's the Alcoa West, and there's the Alcoa East. They took over from Reynolds Metals and the old GM facility that's now the Racer facility. Lots of a tremendous amount of work that needs to be done there, and you are giving the expert scientific knowledge guidance for these policymakers to get involved, these lawmakers and letter writers and public health creation people to get involved to do their part in helping minimize the harm that can and will come from the presence of the PCBs, in this case, in our environment, and the presence of all of the POPs in the mainstream food supply because they were used around the world and they became a part of the whole food supply of the whole world. I really appreciate it, Dr. Carbon. You're a wonderful asset, and I really appreciate your good work.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Well, thanks. This has been Grassroots Environmental Protection Radio. This has been a great opportunity to move forward on public health protection. David Carpenter is an expert in scientific research and educational outreach. He is the perfect high-power human being to guide St. Lawrence County government to use their powers to protect public health by raising awareness amongst the citizens. Dr. Carpenter said it. He said choices in the supermarket. The people can't control how much PCB is in the food, but they can simply choose the food that does not contain the PCBs and the other POPs. The PCBs and the POPs are in the animal fat. They're fat soluble. That's part of being a persistent organic pollutant. These chemicals are not going to be coming into your body if you choose not to eat animal fat. And then as we work forward with this increase in awareness, this better choices in the supermarket, that's advocating for action to clean up the PCBs that continue to contaminate the St. Lawrence River Valley here in the town of Messina, we will make great progress on having better health, better environment, everybody be having better life here because of great science and great scientists and great public health educators and great county government people. We can do this. We can do it all together. This has been Donald Hossig with Grassroots Environmental Protection Radio. Good day.